Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord, church. Amen. Hallelujah. Goodbye fear, goodbye shame, goodbye guilt, because Jesus is alive. He's on the throne and he's for us and he's not against us. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of victory. Amen. Hallelujah. He is our God. He is our healer. He is our soon coming King, and we rejoice in him today. Again, thank you so much, Pastor Jason and St. Andrews, for inviting Teen Challenge once again on Labor Day weekend. It's a tremendous joy for us to be here to share the story of God's grace and goodness. And thank you for partnering with us to see many, many lives transformed by the power of the gospel. We have 12 locations from San Diego all the way up to the Central Valley, Fresno area. We have about 700 beds altogether in our ministry programs for the one-year recovery program. And we have a myriad of outreaches that we do all around the Southland to let people know that getting on the slippery slope of addiction is not where you want to go, because it usually doesn't end well. Between 1999 and 2000, 700,000 people lost their lives to drug overdose in our nation. Between 2020 and 2023, 300,000 plus people died from drug overdose just in 3 years compared to 20 years before. So the curve is going up. So we need to be in more places in more ways than we've ever been before. It's the Ministry of Teen Challenge to let young people and not so young people know that drug addiction is not something that you need to medicate your pain. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our message, and it has been our message for 60 years here in Southern California with Teen Challenge, and we continue to publish that good news that Jesus is the one who can heal you of your pain, of your depression, of your difficulty and frustration and brokenness of sin in your life. God is the answer. And that's what we tell our folks at Teen Challenge. That's what they're discipled in for the time that they're with us. And then they're deployed in kingdom service all around the nation and around the world. We have Teen Challenge graduates from Southern California serving at most every Teen Challenge in the U.S. We're in all 50 states. There's about 260 Teen Challenges in the United States in all 50 of the states, and we have probably somebody from Southern California on staff at every single one of them, because we have one of the only training centers for Teen Challenge staff workers in Southgate. And so we send folks every quarter all over the country to share and to be a part of standing in the gap for those who are broken by addiction. So thank you for your partnership. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for helping us to make a difference. We are making a difference together. Let's give the Lord a hand of victory for that. Hallelujah. It's a tremendous joy to share the word of the Lord with you today. The title of the message that I will be sharing today is We've Been Rescued to Worship. Rescued to Worship. You know, our theme for our anniversary year for 60 years here in Southern California is the journey of faith and freedom continues. God has started this journey with Teen Challenge here in Southern California 60 years ago, but I want you to know that this is God's journey of faith that started with Abraham when he spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I have a plan for you. I want you to leave your family, your culture, your country, and journey with me, and I'm taking you to a place, a promised land that I will give to you and the nations that will arise out of you. And so that journey of faith began with Abraham, and we've been engrafted into that same journey of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We now are all sons and daughters of Abraham. And so we're all journeying God's journey of faith that takes us from Abraham until the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord again. We're in the midst of that journey, but I want you to know that we're not journeying alone. The Lord is with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will take care of you. He took care of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. He's taking care of us in our wilderness wanderings. Can somebody say amen? We've all wandered far from the peaceful shore. We've all wandered far from the purposes of God. We've all wandered far from our purpose that the Lord created us for. But I want you to know that we have a loving Savior who's calling us home. And that's what happens through Teen Challenge, as sons and daughters are coming home. Welcome home, sons and daughters. Amen. And there are many more sons and daughters who are waiting to come home. And that's why he's raising up this army of servants who will go out and tell them, the Father is waiting for you. Hallelujah. Remember the story of the prodigal. The father was waiting for his son to return. And when he returned, there was a great party, a great celebration. And that's what worship is. Worship is a celebration of God's goodness and mercy. The passage of scripture I want to share with you today is 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous and wonderful light. Verse number 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This was the Apostle Peter really amplifying what God spoke to Moses to tell the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. He says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession, although the whole earth is mine. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Isn't it wonderful that when God speaks a word, his word does not return void, but accomplishes for what he speaks? Can someone say amen? When God said, let there be light, light started and don't know how to stop. Praise God. And I want you to know that when he spoke this word concerning the children of Israel, as he delivered them from the bondage of the Egyptians and took them on that journey of transformation, he said, I want you to be a kingdom of priests so that all the nations around who don't know me will know who I am so that they too will serve. They didn't fulfill that mission, but I want you to know that God kept that in reserve until the time that he has brought us and grafted us in with the commonwealth of Israel through faith in Jesus Christ, serving the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And now together, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God, and we are now given that same mission and that same call to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Are you excited to proclaim the goodness of the Lord? Amen. That's what we do through Teen Challenge. That's what you do through St. Andrew's, here, near, and far, is you proclaim that goodness. You are part of that chosen generation, that royal priesthood. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be rescued? To be rescued by God is to be set free from the slavery and the mastery of sin. And our liberation is not just a historical event, but he literally gives us a brand new identity. He changes our very name. We have access to new powers of grace and mercy because of the blood of Jesus. We see with different eyes. We have a different vision. We know now that we don't live for ourselves, but we live for God. Hallelujah. And that was God's plan when he delivered Israel and rescued them from the cruel bondage of the Egyptians. He told Moses to tell them in Exodus chapter 7 and chapter 8, he says, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go so that they may worship me. Let my people go so that they may worship me. God always has a purpose for everything that he does. He has a plan and a design. And that purpose was so that they will worship God. I want you to know that God has set us free from our sin. He set us free from our brokenness. He set us free from our addiction. Can I get an amen from Teen Challenge? Hallelujah. He set us free because he wants us to be worshipers. Any worshipers in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to rescue, to set free, and to break the chains of bondage so that we can move away from our slave identity into the new identity of sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. You know, I shared in the first service that God operates the largest adoption agency in the universe. We've been adopted into his family, according to Romans chapter 8. Praise God. We've been adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High King. Aren't you glad that you've been adopted today? Amen. Praise God. That means that God wanted you. He chose you. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He wanted us to be a part of his family. And so he, just as he chose Abraham for the mission that he was on, he chose you and I for the mission that he calls us to. See, the purpose of God when he calls us and he rescues us is he has some work for us to do. Turn to someone and say, God's got some work for you. Someone tell somebody, God has some work for you. Amen. Because that's what worship is. Worship means to serve him. Worship means to obey him. Worship means to be devoted to him alone, to follow him, to live according to his decrees and commands, to embrace the culture of God's kingdom above the culture that we're passing through, to pray to him, to love one another, to care for the widow and the orphan, to share our bread with the hungry, to reveal the one and only living God to all the idolatrous nations and people around us who don't know him yet. We have some work to do. Amen? It's good work, y'all, because we serve a good God. Amen. And everything about his kingdom is good. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be added to you. So he said, don't seek the things that you believe are going to satisfy you, but seek my kingdom first, because that is the only place that you will find real satisfaction, is living and operating and serving in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He said, those who don't know me, they're always looking after other things to supplant that place of leadership. See, when God rescued the children of Israel from the Pharaoh, it was not just so that they would be free, but it was so that they would be under a different government. They were no longer under the government and dominion of the Pharaoh. They were now under the government of God. Hallelujah. So we have a new government in our lives. We're not under the government of sin and slavery to brokenness and the bondage and fear that we just got through singing about. Hello, fear. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, goodbye, fear. Hallelujah. He says in Romans 8, you have not received the spirit again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So we don't have the spirit of fear on us anymore. We have the spirit of adoption. And so because we have the spirit of adoption and sonship in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now free to worship. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. We can worship the one true and living God, and we don't have to worship our brokenness. We don't have to worship our own flesh. We don't have to worship those things that keep us in that place of darkness, but we can now walk into that marvelous light. Hallelujah. You are a chosen people. God chose you. See, when God chooses, there's a special anointing and grace that comes upon our lives so that we can be who he has called us to be. See, Abraham was not naturally a person of faith. But when God called him, God put a grace upon him to enter into a faith and a faithfulness that carried him into his part of the journey. All matters of salvation and rescue and deliverance are initiated by God. God looks at us and he said, I know you can't help yourself, so I'm going to help you. Isn't that wonderful? He just said, now you see if you can get yourself free and find your way to me, then I got something for you. No, no, no. He said, I'm going to come and find you and give you grace so that you will be able to break free to find the place, and I'll lead you to the place. I will guide you to the place. I will hold you in the place. I will sustain you in the place of my grace so that you can be my people. Hallelujah. Praise God. We serve a good God. Amen. He didn't leave it up to us in our own devices and say, if you can swim your way home, I got something for you. No, no, no. He says, I'm going to come and find you. And Jesus, he came, hallelujah, and he gave his life on the cross, and he paid the way, and he says, come and follow me. And as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we were able to walk into that identity and that place of sons and daughters. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. What is a royal priesthood? See, what the priests did is they stood before God and before the people. Our priesthood is like this because we have a great high priest in the heavens according to the book of Hebrews, and Jesus is our high priest, and he stands before the Father for us. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're not doing the work that Jesus did, but what we do is when he calls us a royal priesthood, we can stand in the gap and we can pray for others and bring them into the throne room of grace through our prayers. See, many times when we go into the throne room of grace, we only pray for us four and no more. Hello. But see, God wants to enlarge our territory and let you know that your royal priesthood is not just about praying for your needs. Yeah, pray for your needs. It's very appropriate to do that. Amen. God help. Amen. I need some help today. Amen. Everybody and everything driving me crazy. I need some help. So It's okay to do that. Praise God. But our priesthood is a little bit bigger than that. Not only do you pray for yourself, but you pray for others. You stand in the gap for those who are broken, those who are lost, those who are in darkness, those who are laboring under false identities, those who don't know who they are. And we say, Lord, have mercy. Send forth grace. Send forth messengers and ministers. And Lord, if you can use anything, use me. Here I am. Send me. Lord, I will go. And so a royal priesthood, we stand in the gap. We bring people before God. We're gentle and loving. That's what priests do. Hallelujah. And we're forgiving. Hallelujah. We don't hold grudges. Glory to God. We pray without ceasing. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, we pray without ceasing. This is what a royal priesthood does. We live so that others can find their way home. Hallelujah. We have access to God. Isn't that wonderful? That Hebrews 4:16 says, because of the blood of Jesus, we have this access that we can walk right into the throne room as a child of God and say, Father, I need help. Father, my community needs help. Father, my nation needs help. Father, this world needs some help. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? And so we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. The reason we can come boldly is because we're not coming in our own identity of the past, but we're coming in our new identity as adopted sons and daughters. And we're talking to our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we need your kingdom to show up today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. This is what royal priests do. Amen. He says that we are a holy nation. We're holy because God calls us. When God calls us, he is holy. And when he speaks and when he calls something into being, it becomes holy because it is set apart for his purpose. And so we are a holy nation all together from every tribe, from every race, from every tongue, Jew and Gentile, who are calling on the name of Jesus Christ. He calls us together. And now as a holy nation, we've been set apart not to live for ourselves, not to live for the things of this world, but to live for his kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We are called his holy nation. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we're citizens of the United States, and this is our country that we live in, but we are citizens of heaven at the same time. God's kingdom grows everywhere his gospel is preached. It grows in a democracy. It grows in authoritarian society. It grows in dictatorships, wherever, whatever forms of government across the earth. But when people preach the gospel and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they enter into the kingdom of God and they become citizens of the kingdom of God. And we're all one holy nation together, worshiping and proclaiming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give the Lord a shout of victory for what he has done. Amen. God's kingdom has come to us. We are a holy nation. Hallelujah. We're his own special possession. Isn't that wonderful to know that you're special to God? You're special to God. How special are you? We are so special that he paid the ultimate price for us. He gave his life on the cross. He says, this is how much you mean to me. You're so special to me that I will lay down my life so that you can have eternal life. We're special to God. He loves us so much. We're his special possession. So when you're going through life and on those days when you're down and you're just not feeling it, I know you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just not feeling it. The kids are driving me crazy. The grandkids are driving me crazy. My boss is driving me crazy. The freeway has really pushed me over the edge. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Remember that you are his special possession. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he said, I came to give my son for you so that you can walk in that newness of life and you can praise me because I've called you out of darkness. Isn't it wonderful to be called out of darkness? You know, when we're in darkness, we don't know where we're going. But when the light comes, I can see. I can see. You know, I'll close with this. I was at our Teen Challenge Center up in Ventura a couple of weeks ago, and Judy Tucker was there. We had a wonderful time at a banquet there, And I saw the ladies there, and I told them that there was a time when a man was born blind, and they asked Jesus, who sinned? Was it his parents, or did he sin that caused him to be blind? Jesus said, well, that really is not the issue. He said, this is done for the glory of God. And he healed the man. Whatever brokenness that you're going through, instead of you trying to figure out all the nuances of why things happen, look for the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. In other words, God's power, his wisdom, his anointing, his strength, his grace, his mercy, and his goodness is about to show up in your life in order to deal with that issue. And that's what I see when I see the lives of Teen Challenge students. I see the grace of God. Say, well, when did they start experimenting? When did they start? Stop. God, come and deliver them and set them free. Let us look for the glory of God instead of looking for blame, and we will see the glory and the power of his name. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you for making us one holy nation together, a royal priesthood. Use us for the glory of your kingdom, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.